Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor James Tabor. His new book is The Lost Mary, Rediscovering the Mother of Jesus. The mother and the father of Mary are in Sepphoris. The husband, Joseph, is in Nazareth. The father of Jesus is unknown or Pantera or whatever you've come across in the researches of that which the professor calls Mary's secret. We then have to deal with the fact that the church fathers over 2,000 years are uncomfortable with the idea that there is a father who is not Yahweh, not holy. And therefore, they've come to come up with a parallel story that is compelling but entirely inspired, not scientific. It's called the Proto-Evangelium of James. What does that inform us of James? What are they trying to achieve with this fantastic story?
Well, I hope everybody will read it. I recounted a little bit in the book, you know, the summary of it. But it's quite a tale. Here we go. Mary is 3 years old. Little Mary, daughter of Joachim and Anna. She's so holy, we send her to the temple in Jerusalem. And she grows up almost like a Vestal Virgin, you know, that they had in the Roman temples, untouched, completely non-sexual. Then she becomes 12 years old. During the time that she's there from 3 to 12, when she starts her menstrual cycle and becomes a woman, they got to remove her. She doesn't even eat. She's so perfect, living like a little angel in the temple. And then she becomes pregnant. And when she becomes pregnant, there's a whore in the town. She's back in Sepphoris in the Nazareth area. And they think, well, she's married to Joseph, but who's the father? Because Joseph is saying, I'm not the father. And so they actually examine her. And the physical examination is described. And they say that, nope, she's still intact. So no man has touched this woman. So with that goes the children. We've got James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, and a couple of girls, maybe two or three women that aren't named as sisters. Where did they come from? Because Mary now becomes what's called a perpetual virgin, ever virgin. She never has sex in her whole life. Joseph is pictured as an older man. Maybe he's in his 80s or 90s, you know, kind of caretaker father. And all those kids are his, so they're not Jesus's brothers. They're not Mary's children. And in the book, I say, you know, if they were Mary's children, which would be the normal interpretation, Matthew 1:25, remember that. Joseph knows Mary not. He knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. So he did not have sex with her initially, but when they got married, he did. And the children, I would argue, historically, are Mary's children. And many Catholic theologians would go along with that as well, and historians. So these children are stepchildren. Now, in the Latin church, Joseph can't have sex either because he's too holy. It's this whole thing that sexuality is a lower level of humanity. It's necessary. It's for reproduction, maybe for some level of bonding and pleasure, but in terms of having a higher spiritual life, you would live a celibate life. This is coming in the second, third, fourth, fifth centuries, and then it just takes over the world. So according to the Latin church, these are children of Joseph's brother. You see how it's moving away from Mary to Joseph, and then, oh, even Joseph, he can't have sex with before Mary with his, he's a widower. And so they have to be half-brothers first, stepchildren, and finally cousins, all to avoid the idea that Mary lived a normal Jewish life. And in this book, John, I want to present the Jewish Mary. I want to give her back to her people. She's Jewish. She's in her faith. And she has a large family, eight or more children. And that is our historical figure of Mary. I admire her, and I'm amazed at her. Joseph apparently dies early. He's never mentioned after Jesus is 12 years old. So these kids come quickly, and he disappears, and now she's a widowed mother with 7, 8 children. And that's in a harrowing time of great courage.
I want to explore the manuscript or what we know about the origin of the Proto-Evangelium. When did it first appear, James? What's our best guess?
It's very difficult to date because it doesn't mention contemporary events. That's usually how we date documents. But we know that it's mentioned in the second century, so we usually just pick a date and say by the mid-second century. So that would be the 100s or so, 100 years or so after Jesus and his period and the period of the first followers.
And it appears in Greek, and it apparently becomes well-known. Is that correct? I mean, it's adopted because it's a way of dealing with the unknown, the facts that they don't have of the Father.
It's a way of dealing with that. It's a way of making Mary pure and virginal right. from 3 years old to her death as an adult. And it's reflecting a very popular, we call it Neoplatonism, the idea that the body and the world and sexuality are a lower level of human existence, and the highest level is to move up to a celibate life or a non-sexual life. It's as far from Judaism as you could get, but it's quite a tale. You've read it, and when you read it, it's quite engaging.
Yes.
And you turn the page on it, and you think, wow, is this really how Mary spent her life growing up?
Now, let's go back to the pregnancy, because we raced ahead to the unknown father, maybe a Roman soldier, maybe anything. But during the pregnancy, Mary was with Anna. Let's introduce Anna, not her mother, a friend of the family. Who is Anna, and where is Anna that Mary visits, according to the story?
And let me just add one thing on Pantera or the soldier. I don't take the position that when Mary was with Pantera, he was a soldier. I would say he's a Jewish boy. It's a name of the Jewish family. And therefore, he got carried away, perhaps, impressed into the Roman army. But he's not a Roman soldier when she meets him. That's important because I've been quoted, Tabor thinks Jesus' father was a Roman soldier, which I don't think. I think he was a relative of the family, a young boy. Now, Anna and Joachim, the father and the mother of Mary, we know from this document. So it's not as though this document doesn't give us anything. The person's name, and Salome is named, we think the sister of Jesus, she's named, she's almost like a kind of a attendant or something at the birth of Jesus. Remember, these kids are older according to this text, so they can help out with Jesus' birth. Jesus is the new kid in the family, not the firstborn. So it's a very odd kind of thing. But Anna, I wish we knew more. One thing we learned from that text that I accept because of other evidence that I give is that they're not living in poverty. They're living in Sepphoris, the urban capital of the Galilee. And Joachim is described as a wealthy man with lands and flocks and herds. That's not something I think you would make up in the second century, because the poverty idea was coming in, that they had nothing, nowhere to lay their heads. So you wouldn't make up the grandparents and make them wealthy. So I think there's evidence that the family is... I'm not saying they're rich, but they're landed and they're propertied. And picture Jesus knowing them all his life. How many churches of St. Anne are there in the land? And yet we never picture Jesus, little baby Jesus, being held by his grandmother or his father playing games with him and so forth. And the whole family, they would be getting together all the time on the Sabbath. It's 4 miles away. You know, where do you have Sabbath dinner? If you're living in Nazareth and the grandparents are up the hill, about a 20-minute walk. So this is a whole picture of imagination of how Jesus grew up with a tight-knit family, with the grandparents around and so forth.
There's another detail here that's important to introduce. John the Baptizer, you've done excavation, you've done archaeology work in a cave. Where and why?
There, John the Baptizer, I call him Baptist only because people might confuse it with the Baptist Church, but it means the dipper, the one who immerses. He's from the south. He's from outside of Jerusalem. The traditional name is Ein Kerem. It's there today. You go west of Jerusalem, it takes about 15 minutes by car. But it's called the hill country of Judea, not the desert. That's on the other side. This is the hill country. So when Mary discovers that she's pregnant, she flees, it says. It uses the word. This is in Luke. She makes haste, the King James, to the hill country of Judea to see her relative. She's called Elizabeth. Aunt, I think, would be a good guess, maybe related to Anna. And she finds refuge there. Now, if you do the chronology, it is amazing, John. She stays 6 months, and I think I got to get that right. I'll fudge it. She stays several months, and if you work out the dates of Elizabeth's pregnancy, because of the mother Elizabeth is the, did I explain that? Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist, and if you work out the dates, Mary leaves after the birth of John. So here's a new image, I've never seen it, where Mary, the young Mary, pregnant with Jesus, 3 months behind John, is attending at the birth of John. So where we excavated is just right there in the valley of Ein Kerem. It's a place called Suba today. It's mentioned in the Hebrew Bible, and there's a cave there. And that cave is actually mentioned, I believe, in the Proto-Evangelium of James. So you see how this is all connecting, because Herod the Great wants to kill the children, remember? And, well, John the Baptist also would be a child that was born in that time. They're going to be after him. And she hides in a cave. And we have, we think, discovered the cave of legend, at least. But you know what it has on the walls? It took us 5 years to dig down and expose it all. It has the earliest art, pictures of John the Baptist, his head on a platter, a sword, three crosses. So it's later Christian, but they're remembering this as the cave of John the Baptist. And it's a reservoir full of water where you could baptize. So that's interesting as well.
It says an assembly of people that we hear of in the Bible, but you've connected them in a way that makes it clear that the family was very large and it had a large amount of friends. The book is The Lost Mary, Rediscovering the Mother of Jesus, a new historical investigation of the most powerful woman in the world. Professor James Tabor is the author.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.